You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Well, at this time, we look at political stories that you need to keep an eye on. And in a sense, the rhino poaching issue is very much a political one because, of course, the CITES ban that's been in place since 1977, some would argue, has not seen a decline in the number of rhinos poached. We've lost instead 100,000 of these animals since that time. And they're saying there needs to be political will to deal with this thing. We're joined now by Pelham Jones, who's the chairperson of the Private Rhino Owners Association. Pelham, a very good morning to you. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Good morning, Bongani, and good morning to your listeners.
So listen, I mean, the stats are frightening, right? Since 2007, rhino poaching is up 9,000%. It would seem we're losing.
Well, Bongani, when you start to analyze it, and we have to try to take as much emotion out of the discussion as possible and look at all the factual data. So as you've correctly reported, 100,000 across the African continent, some 23 range state countries have lost all their rhino. There are many countries, including Tanzania, that have less than 100 animals left. If one looks at the situation in South Africa, it is becoming very alarming. We have lost over 8,000 rhino since what I refer to as the poaching tsunami hit us in 2008. The financial losses are absolutely staggering. We're spending some 2 billion rand a year. That's national, provincial, and private reserves. If one adds to that, so what is the loss? If you quantify these animals, we have lost some 9.8 billion rand of assets from South Africa.
Yeah.
And we see that very little is being done to rectify this terrible, terrible theft of an iconic species.
But Pelham, here's the thing. A lot of people here, for example, when the stats are trotted out that fewer are being killed every year, there's the sense of fatigue, if you will, from the public. Have we moved on?
Sadly, yes, we have. The landscape has been somewhat overwhelmed with political discussion and debate, et cetera, et cetera. And it has almost become yesterday's news. But the harsh reality is that it is one of our iconic species. I'm delighted at your debate this morning because it refreshes the debate. We cannot go down in history as the home of the Big Four instead of being the home or the proud home of the Big Five.
Pelham, COP25 is coming up. You want that ban lifted. Our government says no.
Well, this is a very hotly debated issue between the Department of Environmental Affairs and the private rhino owners. We, as industry, who now own over 50% of the national herd, are suffering huge financial distress as a result of this completely failed, and I'm going to use the word idiotic, ban. And sadly, it was intimated to us in 2016 that the department would put forward a trade proposal. They didn't do it. It was intimated again to us that it would happen in 2019. Even our own scientific authority made recommendations to the department that the South African government should submit a trade proposal, i.e. remove the annotation to allow for trade in rhino horn from stockpiles. That trade, in turn, will take poaching pressure away from our wild populations. I must point out to you, Africa has over 50 tons of rhino horn lying in stockpiles that can be utilized to bring much-needed conservation revenue back.
Let me come in here. A lot of people would say a ban would, in the long term, increase demand. I mean, we had a caller even earlier suggesting to us that right now this is very much an elite product, if you will. It's something only the elites in countries in Southeast Asia who demand it. You make it more affordable, you'll create a much bigger market in the long run. And also, how on earth do you make sure that blood horns are not laundered?
Right. So a number of very interesting points raised here. So first of all, let's agree and acknowledge the fact that prohibitions and bans do not work. Full stop. In the U.S., you've seen prohibition on alcohol. You've seen the U.S. spending over $70 billion a year on drug law enforcement, and yet the smallest hick town, I can go and buy any configuration of drug that I want to. In terms of the speculative growth of the demand, again, that is an emotive, assumptive issue. We have got economists who have studied this very module and, in fact, come with a total counter-argument. Currently, because it is illegal, there's a demand for it because of its illegal status. In other words, it's nice to be naughty. If, however, the product is freely available at a corner shop, it will remove the demand for the product because of its illegal status. And we also say...
But hold on, Pelham, I could argue the prohibition didn't prevent alcohol sales. I mean, alcohol is legal now. The demand hasn't gone down.
Yeah, sure, but now let's reconfigure this. So now you have a current situation where if any trade is illegal, the parties are the illegal players are benefiting hugely. In other words, the crime syndicates are the only beneficiaries in it.
So what about the argument that the private owners are really trying to protect their investments here? That's why they want the ban lifted.
Well, in fact, to the opposite, it's the South African government who stands to benefit the most because the South African government owns 2/3 of the national stockpile. We, the private sector, are some 1.4 billion rand out of pocket in loss of asset, and that excludes what we are paying in terms of security, feeding and management, veterinary costs of these animals. It's not that we went into rhino conservation because we want to make money. We went into rhino conservation to conserve the species.
Talk to me, in the Kruger, I mean, that's where most of these animals are slaughtered. How bad is the situation? Do we even know the numbers? Because the figures that were released recently by the minister have been disputed.
Well, I cannot speak, obviously, for Kruger Park. I can certainly speak in generalization terms, and that is that despite the decline in poached numbers, certainly the number of incursions, and that is across all reserves, has increased by some 17%. So, therefore, the poachers are trying so much harder. And secondly, that there is a decline of rhino numbers in Kruger, so therefore it makes it so much more difficult for these individuals to find a rhino to poach and kill, which sadly brings added poaching pressure to both provincial and private reserves.
There's been a suggestion that not every rhino is killed is recorded as a poaching incident. Very specific things need to happen for that to be the case, so we don't always necessarily know how many have been poached.
Well, I can assure you on the all the environments that I am active in, I can assure you there is very articulate recorder of the various crime scenes, the DNA capturing forensic material, etc.
Okay.
And I think it would be grossly illogical for Sandparks not to provide that information for all the obvious reasons.
Pelham, what happens if we don't act?
Well, if we carry on the way we are, we have a failed strategy. We are facing already a decline in the national population, and the most idiotic thing is to continue doing what we are doing at the moment. We have to radically change our strategy, our thinking, and that message must be conveyed to the international community. It is arrogant for European countries or North American countries to dictate conservation strategies in South Africa. We are a world authority. We are the world authority on rhino conservation, and yet we are being dictated to by an organization like CITES.
Pelham Jones will have to leave it there. He's the chairperson of the Private Rhino Owners Association. They're calling for government to demand that CITES allow trading in rhino horn. Where do you stand on this issue?